Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
There was some big news out of minor league baseball today. It became official what people had speculated about for a while. Major League Baseball was looking at their minor league system and doing a lot of restructuring, and people wondered, would that mean the end of the Northwest League? Would it mean that the Northwest League would get a bump up? Nobody quite knew. Announcement came today. The Arizona Diamondbacks have invited the Hillsborough Hops to be their single-A advanced affiliate. That's promotion from short season to full season. In Eugene, for Eugene listeners, the Emeralds of Eugene have also been invited to bump up to single-A advanced, San Francisco Giants organization affiliation there. This would mean a difference of going from 76 games with a lot of draft picks, a lot of kids that are out there just trying to hang on or maybe trying to get into full season A or double A. 76 games up to 132 games. I think you're going to see better players. You're going to see more games. K.L. Wambacher is the general manager of the Hillsborough Hops. He's a frequent guest on this show, and he's joining us now. You guys throwing a party over this, a virtual party? This is a big, big deal for you guys.
This is a big deal. Yeah, we're really excited. It's one of those things where we've kind of had a secret for a while because we've heard a lot of the rumors and we've been part of the discussions behind the scenes. And so today is that day where we actually get the letter from MLB that says we're in. We've been selected to be part of this 120. We've got a great relationship with the Diamondbacks that we know will now continue for a minimum of hopefully 10 years. So it's a huge day. I mean, I never would have thought that we could go from short season A to long season A and even go to advanced A. So pretty awesome.
Give us the difference for people who don't understand the minor league system. What is advanced A ball?
It's a huge difference from short A. And you kind of alluded to it in your preamble there about just the experience of players and the talent level. The talent level has always been, anytime you're in professional baseball, the talent level is ridiculously good. But, you know, you start to weed out once you get to long A and you get to advanced A and then you get to double A. You're just weeding out players. And so the cream rises to the top. And advanced A, so many players now are called up from double A. So in essence, advanced A, you could be two steps from the big leagues. You go to double A and then straight to the big leagues. So the talent level is going to be immensely different. I think that one of the biggest differences we'll see is we'll get players the entire season. A guy like Christian Robinson, who was a phenomenal talent, we had for, 4 to 6 weeks. And now we'll get a player like that, even though he's only 19, we'll get him for an entire season, theoretically. So I think we'll be able to see a lot more. We'll see higher level talent, but we'll also see this talent for a longer period of time during the season.
What does it do to the Northwest League? I noticed that Eugene was also going to advanced A. You guys are single A advanced. Who else is going to be part of this? Who will you play?
You know, honestly, some of those details are still being fleshed out, and we don't know. The difference with the new system is it's one-on-one. MLB is communicating with individual teams and owners, where in the past they would communicate with minor league baseball, and then minor league baseball would disseminate that information to all of its member teams. And really, minor league baseball is kind of gone in a way, or it's being dissolved. So the office in St. Petersburg has a fraction of the amount of people working in that office than it has in the past. And now everything is flowing directly to Major League Baseball. So we don't have that minor league baseball entity that would interface with MLB anymore.
talking to K.L. Wambacher, general manager of the Hillsboro Hops. Have you talked or thought all about what will happen next season? I know, you know, a lot of people are tracking vaccine and how you can get people into the stands. And, of course, it all is reliant on the Oregon Health Authority and the governor's office. But given what you know and sort of the timeline for the season, do you expect fans to be inside Ron Tonkin Field come next season?
Yeah, we do. I think the timeline, you know, based on what we're hearing from Dr. Fauci and all the experts and what we're hearing from MLB, the timeline seems to fit fairly well with our schedule. The new format, assuming everything's agreed upon and this everything that came out today ends up being reality, the new timeline will have us starting in April. We still don't know from Major League Baseball if they're going to start spring training on time, if they're going to start the season's on time, so there's a chance that things could be pushed to May. But even so, we could play through the end of September, theoretically. So at this point, everything's on the table, but, you know, what we're hearing from mass vaccination potentially happening in March, April, May, that timing would fit pretty well to have fans back in the building and hopefully a substantial amount of fans.
K.L. Wambacher, general manager of the Hillsboro Hops, is with us. Jumped out at me on the news release. It says the Diamondbacks have invited the Hops. I also noticed the Emeralds were invited by the Giants. They're using that terminology. Does that mean that you got to accept the invitation, or why, you know, that word invited? I noticed that was being thrown around a lot. It wasn't just you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of a interesting process. Every major league team invited their four affiliates to join this new system today. So every one of these 1,920 teams received this letter from MLB inviting them to join this new system with some of the details of what this new system will look like. But we haven't received a lot of the details yet. We haven't received the contract yet. We have a new thing called the PDL, the Professional Development License, and that's going to be I don't know how many pages, but a very, very long document that we're supposed to receive within a week or two. So it was a announcement. They wanted to get out kind of who these new affiliates will be, what the shakeup will be of teams moving up and down, because there's been a lot of anticipation and hype around who's in, who's out in this new system. But there's still a lot of details that are coming. And so, you know, until all those agreements are reviewed and signed and everything, I think they want to be careful with that language of where things are going in the future.
The decision by Major League Baseball to restructure, can you help us understand what was wrong with the system?
Well, I don't know that things were necessarily wrong. And not being in the Major League Baseball office and being privy to a lot of the conversations that led up to this, it would just be pure speculation from my end. You know, I know that the facility standards were an important aspect of this and improving the work experience for minor league players and minor league coaches, things like travel, things like the hotels they stay in. Compensation has been a hot button for Major League Baseball and Major League teams about increasing the pay for minor leaguers. And facility standards really haven't been changed much from 1990. So I think everyone in baseball felt the need to reevaluate the types of facilities and more importantly, the player facilities that these players are training in day in and day out. You have multi-million-dollar athletes now that are being signed to big signing bonuses. And they want to make sure the training grounds in that first year, second year, third year before they get to the big leagues, they want to make sure that that's a high quality experience. So by the time they get to the big leagues, they're prepared and they're ready to go.
K.L. Wambacher of the Hops, have you given any thought to season tickets, pricing with more games? Will it still only be $5 to park? I have so many questions.
Well, we're definitely fleshing a lot of those details out. We've had a lot of time to think about this, you know, losing our 2020 season. So we've been communicating with season ticket holders. We've tried to give them a peek behind the curtain. They're our most invested fans from a financial standpoint, and Pricing is all the same per game that it has been in the past. We didn't do any ticket price increases for the 2021 season. And we're providing an incentive for season ticket holders that have been with us and want to extend to that full season format in 2021 and beyond.
I love it. I'm excited for you guys. You know, as this was developing, were you at all nervous with restructuring, or did you feel all along that the team had been well-run, well-supported, that baseball was going to see the hops as part of this? And for people in Eugene as well, that franchise, I think, has to be over the moon at the Giants saying, look, we want you to be our advanced team as well. So congrats to Eugene as well.
Well, there was definitely some nervousness just because all the decisions are out of our control. And, you know, anytime you don't have control over your destiny, it's kind of an awkward position to be in. You know, fortunately, over the years, between our ownership, Mike and Laura, and myself and some of our staff members, we've been able to build a lot of relationships, whether that's with Arizona, whether that's with Major League Baseball. So we felt somewhat confident through the process just because of the conversations we're having with people we know, and, you know, the Diamondbacks assuring us that they have us ranked high and they really enjoy being in Hillsboro and the player development experience that we deliver. So, you know, we had confidence, but until you get that final word, until we got that letter today that we're invited and we're in, there was definitely a big sigh of relief, like, okay, now we can focus on the agreement, we can focus on the details, and focus on what this new world of baseball is going to look like.
KL Wambacher, Hillsboro Hops, I appreciate you coming on, and congrats to you guys today.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Thanks for having me on. It's a huge day, I think, for our franchise, but also the baseball community in the Portland Metro and in Hillsboro.
Awesome. Amen. KL Wambacher of the Hops. I think for the state as well. I think Eugene getting the advanced A classification as well, the San Francisco Giants, and Hillsboro being included. I think those are big developments for our state and for baseball. All right, coming up, I'm going to play Punch It Audio. It is the best sound from all around. Jen Cohen, the athletic director at Washington, will be joining us as well. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. You know, an Oregon Duck fan or a Washington Husky fan or somebody who's interested in whether the Oregon-Washington game will be played, tell them 1:30 right here, about 10 minutes from now. Jen Cohen, the athletic director at Washington, will be joining us. I just confirmed during the commercial break with her people. She's on schedule. She will be here, and we'll be ready to go with some questions about whether or not this game is going to happen, when they will know that, when they will figure that out. When will they get the results? What's the cutoff date for canceling the game? And whether or not she's concerned that if they don't play this weekend, that they may not be ready to go by next weekend as well. So there's that. In the meantime, Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. We do it every day.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Thursday night football? No, Tuesday night football. Not Monday night football. Lamar Jackson. Touchdown. Punch it.
Jackson keeps, gets it, and goodbye. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson, right up the guts.
Right up the guts. 34-17 yesterday. Baltimore Ravens over the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody in the stadium, but nobody except the Ravens running all over the Dallas Cowboys. There was no greater example of the mediocrity of the NFL than the Ravens beating the Cowboys. I just don't think the Ravens have what it takes to be a contender in this season's NFL. And the Dallas Cowboys, they rolled over weeks ago when Dak Prescott went down. 34-17 is your final. Jackson had two passing touchdowns, ran for a touchdown. The big news of the day was Dez Bryant who tested positive for COVID-19, was pulled off the field, and then promised he's going to quit. He's since rescinded his promise to quit. The point being, don't believe anything Dez Bryant says. Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboy, saying what we all know to be true. Punch it.
But this year, R.I.P., get out your pen, and let's write that eulogy. I think it's over for the Dallas Cowboys.
Rest in peace, Dallas Cowboys. It took him this long to acknowledge that. He must be a big Cowboy fan. In college basketball, growing a conscience. Here's Coach K talking about how conflicted he is with this season. Punch it.
I don't think it feels right to anybody. I mean, everyone is concerned. We made an assessment, or I'm not sure who leads college basketball. You know, it's done by committee. You have oversight committee. You have this committee. And I would just like for the safety, the mental health and the physical health of our players and staff, for their, like, to assess where we're at.
I'll tell you where you're at Duke basketball. You're 2-2. And I think Coach K is selective here with his morality, right? He just got beat yesterday, 83-68 by Illinois. And it's, they scored 29 points in the first half. They weren't good. I don't think they're distracted. I just don't think they're very good. And I think it's interesting that Coach K is kind of looking around going, well, maybe this isn't a good idea after this. I wanted to hear this 4 games ago. Top 10 ranked team, feeling good about itself. Don't give me this speech after you lose to number 6 Illinois. High and mighty. Feels a little hypocritical by Coach K. Heather Dinich, ESPN. In front of the Big Ten Athletic Directors meeting in which they decided, ultimately, that they would change their policy for championship eligibility, Ohio State is going to be eligible to play in the Big Ten title game. Here's what Dinich had to say about it. Punch it.
Well, I'm told from multiple sources that it was a positive, collaborative meeting from the athletic directors, and they are expected to change the rule to allow the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game. I say expected because it's still pending approval. An official vote from the athletic directors plus their senior women administrators, and then, as always, you have to have the approval of the university presidents and chancellors. So there's still a lot of pieces that have to fall into place, but it is looking good right now for the Buckeyes.
Looking good for the Buckeyes. The payouts for the college football playoff, by the way, it's, you know, they gave away the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Cotton Bowls, plus a national championship game, paid out almost $550 million to the conferences and schools per year. It's a financial success, you know, so you're looking at the Big Ten Conference, which got $66 million last year. You know, you play in a playoff game, you get $6 million to the conference. It's a big deal. So those ADs are not voting, hey, we really love Ohio State, we think those kids deserve it. Those ADs are going $6 million extra in our pot. That's what this is about. It's why they voted the way they voted, and it's why Ohio State will ultimately play Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. Jonathan Smith, Oregon State's coach, broke some news on the show. Jamar Jefferson out last week due to contact tracing, COVID-19. Did not play in Oregon State's loss at Utah. Looks like he has been cleared to play this week against Stanford. Here's Jonathan Smith. Punch it.
You know, he was able to practice today, which was the first time in a week. Looked good, and so he has a pathway here to be able to play.
He's got a pathway to play. He also is one of the best running backs in college football and might be the best offensive player in the Pac-12 conference. Yeah, I said it. Might be the best offensive player. Jamar Jefferson has been nothing short of amazing for Oregon State. And here's what's made him good. Everybody knows Jamar Jefferson is carrying the football. And nobody, seemingly, can stop Jamar Jefferson. Everybody in the stadium knows. He's played in only 4 games. He's rushed for 675 yards and 7 touchdowns. It puts him 33rd nationally among total rushing yards. But that's because he's only played in 4 games. He has everybody in front of him has played 8 games and 10 games and 5 games and 11 games. And so it's amazing to me to see that Jamar Jefferson is where he is nationally. Good to see him back on the field. Glad that, you know, he's okay. But I ultimately think if you look at rushing yards per game this season, Jamar Jefferson is number 3 in the country. 4 games, 91 rushes, 675 yards. He's averaging almost 170 yards a game running the football. Stanford, Oregon State's going to be a close game. I'll give my pick tomorrow on the show. But I think both this game's in the 20s. And I think it's close. That's Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. Shane is in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene. He wants to alert me to something. What's up, Shane?
Hey, so I'm not sure if you're a follower of Barstool Sports Podcast, pardon my take, but they gave you a shout-out today. They were talking about an article you had back in 2018 about Larry Scott spending for the Pac-12 and how stupid he was being with the money.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool that they gave you the shout-out.
Well, now I've made it officially. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that, you know, a few people tweeted at me today, and I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. But that Larry Scott thing, you know, I'm curious to know, like, we can all see it, Shane. We all know the Pac-12's behind. And now we have, you know, the finances don't lie. You know, the programs are not, they're underfunded. And a big piece of that is leadership in the conference. What tack did they take? Is it time for Larry Scott to go? Or how do they, what sort of angle did they take?
You know, that's a hard one to answer. I feel like it all starts with the leadership. And if the money's not being spent correctly, maybe he might have to go.
Yeah, I think he does. I think, you know, his contract's up in the summer of 2022. And here's the bigger thing. Like, you know, his job was to negotiate the television contracts for the conference. The truth is, he wanted the headquarters for the Pac-12 conference to be in downtown San Francisco. It had always been in the Bay Area, at least it preceded him in the Bay Area, but it was in Walnut Creek. And for anybody who knows the Bay Area, you know the difference that between Walnut Creek and downtown San Francisco is, you know, like the difference between living in a area that is about 65% as expensive versus the other. I mean, it's a simple economic decision to be in downtown San Francisco. But the truth is, Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, wanted the headquarters to be in downtown San Francisco because he wanted to rub elbows with, you know, all those tech company executives. He's right there, you know, right by AT&T Park, Pac Bell Park, whatever the Giants Park is that they play in. It's right by the Moscone Center. I've been there. I looked around. I was like, oh, I get it. He wanted to go to lunch. He wanted to have a downtown San Francisco apartment like the other CEOs. He wanted to play Fortune 500 CEO. And that's fine if he had knocked it out of the park. But the truth is, this conference fell behind because it had an archaic media rights deal. It got left behind by about $12 to $15 million per university per year versus the SEC, and almost $20 million per year versus the Big Ten. So if you give, it's just simple math, you give one business an extra $10 or $12, $15 million a year and another less, and you do that over 10 years, you know, those two bit, one business is going to succeed and one of them is going to struggle. And so the Pac-12 is struggling. And it further bothered me earlier this year, when they really needed Larry Scott to lead. And, you know, he struck that deal for daily rapid results testing. You know, he kept that deal to himself. He could have shared that with his athletic directors. He could have had the football teams ready to play. I know when the Pac-12 made it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.